This week is another micro-budget creation brought to us by the fine folks at SRS Cinema and Pluto TV now. What do you get when you mix stock footage and blue screens? And blue screens and stock footage. What's the calculus behind adding metal music and kaiju sharks? What do you get when you stitch together a trash bag and a foam suit, a foam shark suit? We're going to answer all those questions and more this week. This is Kaiju versus History, Kaiju Glam Metal Shark Attack.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your pink mohawk sporting late night fishing metalhead, Miles, and joining me is a director with access to a green screen, and by God, he knows how to use it, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week, bud?
We're going to put one actor in front of the green screen and give him very little direction about where to point at the kaiju, where on the skyline it is, and really just riff for a while. Hey, Miles, how are you?
I am not gonna lie, man. Pretty rough. This is a pretty rough watch.
I almost forgot about this movie. It almost didn't make the list because
dear God, I wish you had
of short sightedness on my part. I guess I was when I last looked at our list, I was like, oh, this movie hasn't come out yet in a form we can get besides the pre-order from SRS Cinema. It has since come out. It's a 2024 film, Kaiju Glam Metal Shark, or KGMSA for short. But yeah, almost forgot to put it on our list. But thankfully, this movie is on Pluto TV now, which you know you're in a bad time if it's not even on Tubi. Tubi is like the top tier free streaming surface now.
That and like, look, I appreciate SRS for all they do for the subgenre.
Oh yeah.
Don't get twisted. However, the amount of time they give to these North American chuckleheads printing their home videos on DVDs and Blu-rays is astounding to me. Because you know,
yes, it is crazy.
This like, you and I can make one of these things, and SRS would probably give us a deal.
Don't talk bad about SRS, Miles, or
I'm
producer.
I'm not talking bad about SRS.
Producer of this film and owner of SRS Cinemas, Ron Bonk, who has provided us over the years. You know, he made Space Monster Wong Mogwai happen for the rest of the world. You know,
yeah, and I appreciate that
he can produce 100 more bad movies before I can get mad at Ron.
I disagree because having seen most of them now, I you know what? Maybe it's best if we never saw a space monster Wong Mogwai. As much as I love Spider, that little kid is a goat. But
well, he's brought over so many projects from not just Japan but also Korea and other parts of Asia that I don't think we would have had DVD or streaming access to if it wasn't for SRS. So I'm a big fan of Ron Bonk. That being said, Miles,
like I said, I appreciate them for what they do.
He has produced not just a bunch of kaiju movies, but many horror films.
Yeah, and quite a softcore porn.
Yeah. Ron Bonk has produced also just dozens of Amityville titles. I don't know if you know this. There's a bit of a Amityville horror genre.
Did you just say, I don't know if you know this, and talk about a very popular horror franchise to me?
Well, it's not just a franchise. It is a universe which has...
It was a universe. Now it is just a free market of nonsense. The Vinegar Syndrome and an Amityville Cursed box set when it was actually a series.
People realized that you could just make a film with Amityville in the title because it is an actual place. Then add something onto it. So it brings us to our game tonight, Miles, which is real film or did Patrick make it up? I'm going to talk to you about there are 150 total Amityville titles. Films and shorts I found on IMDb. Ron Bonk has produced a bunch of them. I'm going to just go through the list And you tell me if it's a real Ron Bonk produced Amityville project or if it's something I made up. So we'll fire these off real fast. The first one, we're starting off easy. Amityville Death Toilet.
Real.
Yeah, real. That's an easy one. Ron Bonk produced. Number two is Amityville Karen.
Also real.
Correct. Amityville Werewolf.
I'm going to say it's fake.
It is fake, even though they have Amityville Zombies, Amityville Vampire,
Amityville Bigfoot. I think there's one that has a werewolf in it. I think it's the one with Bella Thorne.
But it's not called Werewolf. Okay.
No, it's called. I think it's called the Amityville Moon or something.
Amityville AI. They're going to get harder.
I'm going to say it's real.
That is true. That is correct. Number five, Amityville Meth Lab.
See, now it's getting in the territory where, like, I don't know. Like, I want to say that it's fake, but it also sounds like something they would do. I'm going to go with fake.
It is fake. Oh, I must have deleted it here. Number six just says Amityville, and I'm pretty sure that is a movie.
That is, in fact, a movie.
No, it was. I have it in my notes for the answer key. Amityville Rabid Dog.
Fake.
Correct. Number seven, Amityville Turkey Day.
That one is real.
Correct. But what about number eight, Amityville Thanksgiving?
I don't think that one's real.
That is incorrect. That is also.
Oh, is it?
There are two Thanksgiving Amityville movies produced by Ron Bunk and Christmas and Easter and
that's a whole bunch hilarious. Of others. It's kind of like when they did, there's like a Poltergeist and then there's another one that sounds like just like it that Troma did. And it's definitely one of those things.
Okay. We have two more. Amityville Greenhouse. Number nine, Amityville Greenhouse. That's correct. But there should be, because I feel like a haunted greenhouse movie would be pretty good.
Yeah, you can do a lot with that.
Number 10, last one, Amityville Backpack.
I'm going to say that one's real.
That is real. I think you got 9 out of 10.
All right, I'm pretty happy with that. Again, yeah, you're coming to my house.
There are just, and like I said, these true ones, there are six of these true ones on the list, are just Ron Bunk produced. Ones. There are so many more.
I vividly remember seeing the trailer for Death Toilet and Karen.
I became aware of these when Amityville in Space came about.
Yes, correct.
I was like, what are we doing over there?
Well, and it's the one thing about this being kind of a free for all is, like, while the Amityville, the core Amityville sequels back when it was kind of a franchise, were not, you know, excellent. They had some really fun ideas and they did some wacky things. In fact, my favorite has the dumbest title, which is Amityville 1992, It's About Time! ! In which it was part of the cursed object, kind of what let's call the cursed object series, where each sequel focused on a specific article that the protagonist got from the Amityville house at some sort of auction. And so this one, they get this haunted grandfather clock.
Spooky.
Which messes with everybody. And it's a super fun, weird little movie. But yeah, Vinegar Syndrome put out a Amityville Cursed box set several years ago. I think they just put it back into print that I have. Because I do think those movies are really fun, even though most of them are not good.
I put this quiz in here mostly because I didn't want to talk about Glam Metal Shark, but
that is hilarious.
Is 2024 film directed by the same director as Conga TNT,
a movie that I also hated.
Movie that is on our spoiler warning bottom 10 kaiju movies of all time, because it is one of our few 1 out of 10s that we've handed out.
Yeah, I remember, I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, oh yeah, they're trying to retrieve something called the Gazangas.
Yeah. Right. But
I don't mind a stupid or a bad movie, but these movies just don't even feel like movies. They just feel like home videos that were edited into something. Like, no one's really acting. Certainly not those two kids.
It was like a good, it felt like a long time into the movie. I was like, man, I kind of miss those kids because the rest of the movie is so bad. And then they showed up in this movie. I was like, why did I curse myself?
Yeah. Yeah.
You did it. This is hardly a kaiju movie. It's more
hardly a movie,
a film about a very low stakes radio station scavenger hunt for
a scavenger hunt. with three items on it.
Yeah.
And it's the three most, like, a picture of a tattoo, a drumstick, and a cassette tape. And the ongoing joke is, a cassette tape? What's that? I think my dad has one.
Oh, my God. We get to the point of a drumstick and Skype in with the, like, a friend of the director who has, like, a ton of drum sets and comically oversized drumsticks in his basement. And I'm just like, we are really filling time here. But like I said, majority of this film
is one legit funny moment of the film is when the kid has a chicken drumstick.
Oh no, it's not funny at all. I
cracked up at that.
Chuckled at one side character, which is the guy that was gardening and saw the giant kaiju and then like went back to gardening. Party. Yeah, he just went back, and there's this very perfunctory hedge clippers. they lingered on him working on his yard for a bit long, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's actually good comedic timing in this terrible film.
It's so bad, and it's like, it's one of those things where like you have to watch it, because like it literally is just like some choppy home video footage and some really amateur green screen work with... There's not even characters in this movie. There are certainly character slots. Girl A and Girl B who want to go to the concert. And, of course, they're wanting to go to this glam metal show, which I have some experience with some glam metal, and that ain't it.
I was about to say, we get a full concert in the movie.
We get a single song.
Yeah, I mean, that's already too long, but it's not even over the credits or anything. It's, like, in the movie, and... Yeah, I mean, it should just be like butt rock, boring, but that would have been speaking of a title, that would have been a better title. Kaiju Butt Rock Shark Attack. I don't have a lot to say about this title, Miles.
No, so you have the opening scene where you have the punk rock, not the punk rocker, but the so-called metalhead who is not listening to metal of any kind. And also is like, oh, I got some scare of the fish because of my rock and roll, even though he's got his AirPods on, which have noise cancellation on it. So you're not bothering the fish, bro. Not just that, but we do not see the boat below the top because there is no water.
It's just a green screen.
It's a dude who is pretending to row in the worst possible way. At first, I thought, okay, this is a gag, right? Second time I thought it was a gag is when I saw the kaiju costume, and I was like, no.
Well, he has a
I have seen better looking suits at Chuck E. Cheese, bro.
They have a orange mohawk on him, which is like
it's falling, not grown on. That was my note.
It's falling off of his bald head.
Yeah,
and you know, spirit gum is like $5, you know, to adhesive a wig to an actor. It felt like they put some scotch tape on there and it kind of fell off and they just kept that scene in.
And there's no care in the script. There is literally when they go to the lady who's supposed to be for the space organization, who is clearly filming in a garage.
Gosh, there are some performances that are beyond the definition of mailed in. Like she might've put it on a thumb drive.
Oh, low resolution. No. That was someone's mom or aunt who was interrupted from wine time, who was asked to deliver some lines. That is exactly the vibe I got.
Well, my favorite is the first news reporter. There's a couple news reporters we see.
I was just about to bring up some of the news reports.
The first one is just one of the musicians from ZZ Top doing a Southern accent. I'm like, oh, man, are we going to see this guy the entire movie? And it's like, no, he gets replaced by a different reporter actor immediately
who is
like,
not any better. And this script, bro, the lady just gives a conference and says that no one was hurt, and the newscaster without skipping a beat says we're awaiting confirmation on casualties.
Yeah, out of order. There's actual character deaths in this movie, which I thought was
everyone died except those two little rugrats.
Yeah, no, the people that should have died. What is these ladies? What I feel like they should have died like saving somebody, or
yeah, they're just they're should really have been standing evil. There and like, they just get stomped. Like
yeah, because we have like an evil mecha designer. I guess not evil, just like a jerk mad scientist type who gets killed. And it's like, oh okay, yeah, I guess I could see that little comeuppance, I guess, for whatever. Yeah. He's like a Lex Luthor type, but lame.
No, you're talking about the guy who kept being like, oh, I'm waiting for them to call me. I'm waiting for them to call me.
Yeah. And the bill he charges the U.S. government for
Is it the U.S. government? Because I think I'm pretty sure this takes place in Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're in Ottawa.
The Canadian government for a Metal Gear Solid type CGI robot.
See, to me, it looks like a mech warrior.
$500,000? And it's like, you got to get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers, yeah, kid.
I felt the same way. I was like, you are bargain binning here. But that seems to be the theme.
We fired single rockets at Iran that cost like twice that much.
Right.
Gotta figure it out, Canada.
But yeah, it certainly looked, the thing looked like they just like ripped it off the cover of MechWarrior 2. Like, that's what it looked like to me.
I mean, talking about designs, that was a terrible mech design. For what we get in this movie as our kaiju, I really hate the kaiju in this. First of all, some points it has what looks like a trash bag covering parts of it. And some points it doesn't. It's supposed to be like the clothing that the guy was wearing. Why would that be enlarged? You know, why wouldn't it just be a naked shark? But it's foam in a way that not even high school mascots are foam. You know, it's
like I said, I've seen better things at Chuck E. Cheese.
I mean, better things at a local high school football game. I could Google like high school shark mascot and see kind of better costumes than this.
Oh, which, absolutely.
Like, well, that is a little infuriating. Oh, when you find out that this movie was funded by an Indiegogo campaign that raised for are you ready for the number, Miles? It raised over $10,000. And I understand like so much of that is going to, that's just like pre-sales of the DVD. And there's like coffee mugs and some bad t-shirts. You can get the soundtrack on CD or MP3, which is hilarious because it was.
Oh, the soundtrack where they stole the music from Pirates of the Caribbean at one point.
Yeah, they were both $30. No, it's like the band's original music, I think, for the movie.
No. Oh, okay. Because
I don't think it's terrible.
And like, it's the exact same music as Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, I'm sure that's just from some music library of stock music. But the film raised $10,000. Let's say half of that is ate up by production value. You want to spend a good amount on this kaiju that is the focus of your film, the shark kaiju.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like it. You look at the cover of the DVD and the t-shirts and the merchandise that they produced, and they have an awesome looking concept for a guitar shredding kaiju glam metal shark. And we just don't get to see that on the big screen, unfortunately.
Yeah, I fully agree. And there's story.
He looks like a street shark. Do you remember street sharks?
I'm not even justifying that with an answer, man. This is the second time you've asked me a question like this, and I'm like,
you Patrick, have known me you for how boob. Long? You dummy. Well, that was a rhetorical idea. It looks
is that what it was, Patrick? Because it was a rhetorical question.
Miles, have you heard of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? He kind of looks like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle villain.
You talk about these colorful superheroes. You might like the Power Rangers.
Super Sentai. Yeah, it's an interesting design. It is terribly executed. And
it's not an interesting design, though. It's not. It's a bad design.
It's a mohawk on a giant shark. It's interesting.
I mean, I guess on paper, sure. A shark on a mohawk. But like they even did that in the Street Sharks, where like it was like each one was a spine, and the spines made up like the mohawk, and that's what tore through the streets and stuff, I think is what they did. But like, yeah, I remember seeing the costume for the first time and I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. I literally almost turned it off. Like, I was just like, I was like, Patrick's pranking me right now.
I was so excited when I thought I was done with this movie and there were still like 40 minutes left. I was like,
this movie is an hour and 9 minutes and it feels like I watched Killers of the Flower Moon. Like,
it's amazing how a good story can be a transformative time traveling experience where, you know, like you said, Killers of the Flower Moon, that movie flew by because it is nonstop stuff happening, amazing acting, blah, blah, blah. This movie, oh boy, there are like 3 minute scenes that feel like 20 minutes. And it's so funny because it's such an editing thing where it's just like these awkward pauses and kind of flubbed lines. The kids have a lot of flubbed lines, aren't edited out or around. They're just long cuts. Yeah. And it's so brutal to watch the raw footage of a scene. It's like bad theater, you know, bad mm-hmm. local theater.
Agreed.
Miles, let's get to flushing this film. Where do you stand on your personal enjoyment score for Kaiju one. Glam Metal Shark? Yeah. What? I'm out of one too.
I don't even have anything to say. This movie just, I mean, I hate doing these movies sometimes, not just because I had to watch them, although that sucked, but like it also always sounds like I'm just like picking on somebody, you know, but like this is a really terrible, terrible. I struggle calling it a movie. It is terrible content is what it is.
Yeah. There like, are some SRS kaiju-esque projects we did not add to the list because I think they would be below this one. And that's like hard to do.
Well, and that, and like, again, I don't even know if I qualify this as a movie. Like if this was a home video that some, like a friend made to like show his other friends, I'm like, okay, well, it's that. Like, I'm not going to judge it on anything other than, oh, it's just some dumb thing my friend made. But like, this is at a proper production distribution company who sells this for real dollars. And it's not three.
No, the DVD for this will set you back, I think, $30. And, you know, they go on sale fairly often on SRS.
Sure, but $30 for this movie is...
$20 is probably insane. Too much.
No, absolutely not. $30 for this movie is highway freaking robbery. Like, this movie is... I mean, I'm not... Yeah, it's kind of unwatchable. Like, it's not a movie. Again, it's not a movie. It's content. I hate
what? What have I told you? If you bought the DVD right now on SRS Cinemas, oh, it's on sale. Actually, I take that back. It's normally $20 and it's on sale for $9.95. I think you might have an argument for $9.95 because the DVD comes with commentary track and
bonus, because I want to hear what these chuckleheads think.
A bonus short film called The Giant Brine Shrimp. So you get a little 2-for-1 action with the DVD.
Awesome.
Sorry, SRS, probably not getting that dollar from me. But yeah, so we're both at a 1 out of 10 for personal enjoyment. Even though I kind of like this more than Conga TNT, it's not
that by that says much. Nothing, dude.
Yeah, it's not a whole point liked it more. For its technical score, I'm giving it a 2 out of 10. I feel like the director somehow used blue screen and green screen a little bit better than Conga TNT, where it just had the actor kind of shot from below. But yeah, it's a comedy movie. They're trying to, I think it was supposed to look like a bad kaiju suit. It was supposed to look unduly cheap. So they have that going for them. But that being said, still just awful, but somehow better than Conga TNT. What about you, Miles?
For its technical? I'm kind of in the same spot as you. I don't want to give it more credit because I don't think it deserves it. But I gotta say that, like, I certainly would have rather watched this than Conga TNT. So congratulations, I guess. So I'm also going to.
And for its importance as a work of kaiju art, you know, I didn't think anything from the director of Conga TNT was going to make a bigger splash in the importance category. And this one definitely does not. It being on, you know, should you watch this movie? Because right now it is free on PlutoTV.com. No, you should not. Is it nice that it is there available for you to watch if the mood should strike you? No, as well, this movie should not be watched at any point outside of being under the influence of alcohol or drugs or inside a convention hall with other people, you know, like at a Godzilla con or movie convention where you're making fun, a shark movie convention, making fun of the film.
I had alcohol and a gummy in this film, and it did not help.
Killed my buzz. Yeah, I'm giving this one a
legit. It really did.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but
I was actively mad. I'm like, I wasted a gummy on this piece of crap.
There's just parts of the movie like you can't hear You're just terribly mixed. And like, and it's like, oh. Yeah,
I get in my head about it. Like, I mean, I can watch plenty of bad movies and have a great time. Like, and again, like, you know, some people will kind of ask, you know, they ask me for opinions on, as someone who, you know, I've told my friends, you know, I'm doing a show where I've watched every kaiju movie ever made. They also know I'm a big horror person. And so they'll always ask me for stuff, but then they'll like be like, well, you know, what about this, 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 and this? And I'm like, listen, the thing about being a horror fan and a kaiju fan is that you're going to have to watch a lot of absolute dog shit to get one decent movie. Decent movie. Not even a great one. A decent movie. The amount of found footage dreck that's on Tubi that I have consumed, because I love found footage movies. Because everyone will look at my letterbox sometimes and be like, what's all these one-star films you have? I've never heard of this. And I'm like, yeah, don't. Don't watch Unreal or what was the one? Urbex or some of the other crap that, because there's actually a found footage streaming service that I subscribe to.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's
Miles, you should not be allowed to be in charge of your bank account.
I'm on the free tier. Okay. Free tier with a VPN and an ad blocker. So,
oh boy, Miles, I need your score.
Oh, it's one. I thought I said that. One. This movie's awful. I don't need to say anything more about it. It's terrible.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a 1 out of 10 for both of us. It's a 1 out of 10 for the podcast, which, yeah, it adds to the collection of 1 out of 10s this podcast has given out. And yeah, somehow still better than Conga TNT, but equally as bad at the same time. 1 out of 10 from Kaiju versus History. Miles, where can folks go if they want to contest that score and thinks it's either too high or too low?
To the junkyard.
Oh yeah, don't watch this movie, by the way. I mean, we're warning you.
If you want to chat with us about anything else, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can post to us at Blue Sky Kaiju versus History. Go to our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends, let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. And go to our sister podcast website, CosmicCrypt.com. That's the Starfinder actual play podcast that Patrick and I are a part of. I'm one of the player characters. Patrick's one of the GMs, or is the GM. There's no other one. We do have a Discord on that page, and there is a Kaiju vs. History channel that you can talk to Patrick and I and our friends about anything kaiju in real time while we are bored at work. Patrick,
When we're recording this, Kyle on the Discord pointed out that one of the most recent episodes, Ape versus Mecha Ape New World Order, posted to our podcast feed twice. I have no idea why. I have no idea how to fix it. I've looked at it so many times. I'm like, why is this here? It's also a terrible movie, but somehow I would watch it 5 times before I watch this movie again. But come say hi over there. Thank you, Miles. Thank you, all of our listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when Netflix is once more home to kaiju content in the 2020s with another foreign import of a local legend on the streaming service made only 3 years after the first smash mythological hit. It's time for a super-sized sequel with a silly title. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Troll 2.